Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2015. For the first segment of the program today, Wendy Wilson will be joining us to talk about a 2,000-year-old medical book, and we also have Rob West will join us for the balance of the program. He's going to give us an update on what he's been working on with the LIBOR rates and, of course, talk a little bit more about China and our monetary policy and the problems that are wrong with this, with our currency and et cetera. Right, Al? Good afternoon, Al.
Good afternoon, Melody, et cetera.
Et cetera. Well, you know, I got an email from Rob. He says, Melody, he says, there's so much going on, so much I want to talk about. He says, can I come on your program today? And I said, absolutely. So it was sort of a last-minute decision to get him on and so forth. So we look forward to having Rob West joining us today. But before we get to Wendy, let's get to our market report. We have gold down $8 today at $1,185.60. Silver's down 24 cents at $16.61. Platinum is down 8 at $11.07. Palladium is down 10 at $761. The USDX today is another down day, 56.56. It was up earlier in trade, kind of reversed itself, and we're holding at 95.35. Crude oil took a beating today, down 1.65 at 59.61. And the paper markets today brought the Dow higher by 66 points at 18,077, and the NASDAQ was up 22 at 5,099, S&P up 5 at 2,111, and here's another surprising leap. You have the 10-year yield now at 2.37%, so interesting leap there, along with the euro 1.13 up 1.08. So big moves in the yield means a drop in the bond values, and of course the euro, big move there in the euro, big move. And gold is down. I'm sorry, folks, you know. they're good. They're really good at keeping these prices maintained at a level. I mean, they're very good. And give a credit due where, even though it's, you know, against our what we own and what we believe in temporarily, certainly it gives everyone an opportunity to buy at these lower prices. European markets, Germany was up a little bit, all under 1%. Nothing much going on in the Asian markets either. So I guess we should get to Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Wendy.
Yeah, we're going to be talking.
You've got a 2,000-year-old book.
Well, I don't have it personally. Boy, I wish I did. But the University of Manchester in England is in possession of this beautiful old book. It was kind of a unique find. They were all excited. You know, they said it was about 1,000 years old. And it appeared to be a Syrian hymnal. And so the team of researchers that were looking over this book were piecing together the book, and they were using modern technology. And what they discovered is that underneath the book's pages, there was an even older text beneath. So to their surprise, what they found out was the original author of this book was none other than the Roman physician and philosopher Galen. So underneath the top pages was this ancient medical text with instructions on mixing herbs for making medicines. And it was really neat because the short title of his book is Simple Drugs, which I think is very cool.
All right.
Yep.
So
now,
we've got an original book that's 2,000 years old. Someone
right?
found it, and they wrote on the pages, they wrote on top of it, and
right.
in this 1,000 years later, this is recycling then, isn't it?
Yeah, this is really is an ancient form of recycling. And
Well,
Galen's name, when you translate it from the Greek, it means calm. He was a pretty wealthy physician around, he died around 200 A.D., he was forward-thinking for his time as a physician, and, you know, he believed in pretty basic stuff, you know, diet, exercise, hygiene, positive thought helps you stay healthy. He also was the physician for the Roman gladiators for a while, and he gained a lot of knowledge then with trauma and surgery treatments. So while he was the physician to the gladiators, it was said that he only lost 5 men while he was their doctor. So Roman law prohibited him from dissecting human remains, you know, cadavers, which, you know, put him in trouble with the establishment often. So then he was forced to just dissect animals to learn human anatomy because that was his thing. So he learned he earned the art of resuscitation, bringing people back from the dead by inflating the lungs of a primate. So
now that's interesting. In other words, I'm not sure what's going on, but was he doing mouth-to-mouth on an orangutan or something like that?
It didn't get explicit. We didn't know if he was doing that after he cut him open or what, but he figured out a lot of systems. So he was very interested in the circulatory system, and he was the first doctor of record to recognize the difference between venous dark blood and arterial bright blood. So the two different colors in the blood. Also, he studied the nervous system and the respiratory system. And a lot of his research included a lot of trial and error, and some of his theories were incorrect. But he was really the first physician to note that the muscular system had muscles that were antagonist and antagonistic. In other words, it was a sort of a muscle chain, and those two muscles influenced the strengthening and lengthening and bulking up of muscles. He figured that out. He also, this one blew me away, he was also the originator of cataract surgery and the instrument to do that surgery, and they still use similar tools and the same procedure today.
Now, that's pretty amazing.
I know. So I don't know how they did it without anesthetics, but that's interesting. Well, maybe they had anesthetics.
They probably had some sort of herb or something to use.
They had something, but they didn't have, you know, anesthetics like we think of them today.
Right.
Now, researchers, what they did is they used some digital technology to uncover the writings of Galen. And Galen was believed to have lived 129 A.D. to 200 A.D. So the ancient animal skin pages where his copy of his title of his book is really on the mixtures and powers of simple drugs. And experts, get this, are really hoping to translate this. And the medical science area is very interested in this book. They want to know what Galen knew, and they want to dig up the ancient knowledge from the kingdoms of Greece, Rome, and the Middle East, which this book seems to cover. So the ancient form of recycling books, as you pointed out, Al, was to reuse manuscripts. So in this case, what the Syrian scribe did, or what he did, was they would gently scrape away Galen's handwriting on the parchment, their form of whiteout, if you will, and then reused the pages and wrote Syrian hymns on there. So the digital photography, along with the light computers and algorithms, helped to really lift Galen's words right back off the parchment and bring it back to life. Apparently, this is a summation. This particular volume is a summation of ancient medicines. And there's 11 other books. This is one of 11 books of a series, apparently. And so,
now, one of 11 books written by Galen.
Right, right.
Okay.
And they think of.
Let me ask: did Galen actually handwrite the book that you're talking about, or was it copied by other people, or is this his own handwriting? He wrote his own little journal.
Well, I think there's probably a little of both, because what they point out is a lot of times he might have had an original text and then scribes would copy it. Okay. And so what they think, and they have two copies now. They have a Syrian copy that they thought was translated from Greek to, or from, yeah, Syrian to Greek, or the other way around, and a Syrian priest wrote it. And then they have what they think is Galen's actual writing in Greek. So they're hoping to compare the two and see what the differences were, because a lot of times when scribes would copy texts, they would, leave out stuff they thought was unimportant, or they would update information and knowledge, so it would change. So they're very interested in seeing if there's any differences at all in these two copies. So I'm real excited. The grant from the UK's Art and Humanities Research Council has donated $1.5 million to restore this text, and they think the writing will actually be helpful to create a bridge of medical knowledge that moved through the ancient world from Rome to Greece and into the Islamic area. So they're really looking at discovering some secrets in there. So one of the things that he would do is roots and plants. He described a lot of the roots and plants, and in detail he would list the parts of the plants, and he would list what they were used for. In other words, an example was given: how to cure sore throats, how to cure flatulence, and how to cure infertility in men. Apparently there were some things that would dehydrate sperm, according to Galen.
Sperm? I mean, that's kind of strange. I don't know what he's got going on there. Galen's going to have an interesting article to write. I'm not going to speculate on what that might mean, but that strikes me as strange. Wendy, are you still there? I don't think she is. What's happened, Melody?
I don't know. I guess we'll talk a little bit. Well, I think we should talk. I don't think listeners want to hear us hum. There was a Skype failure.
Well, we can take a poll and see what they think.
There was a Skype failure. I guess he's going to try to get Wendy back onto the program. You know, what's interesting about that book, Al, is, I mean, the title, Simple Drugs, you would think that, 2,000 years ago, that their words, you just wouldn't think that 2,000 years ago they'd be using words like simple drugs. Well, you'd think, since it was all related to roots and plants, and it would be something a little more along those lines
there's two things that cross my mind. First, the soil wasn't depleted 2,000 years ago to the extent that it is today, which implies that the plant drugs may have been more potent than they are today. If we were to grow the same crops that they talk about in this book today, I wonder if they would have the same effect just because the plant, because the soil is depleted, and I doubt that the plants are going to be as strong in terms of their drug concentrations as they were 2,000 years ago. That's just speculation. What's the other part? The other part is we live in a society where drugs are so commonplace, both legal and illegal.
I'm here.
And all right, Wendy. Wendy is back.
I don't know what happened. I took a trip.
All right. Well, I was listening to you guys talk about it.
Yeah.
We were talking about the book and speculating on the book's going to tell us that there were certain drugs that could be derived from plants 2,000 years ago. And what I'm wondering about is, given that the soil of the world is more depleted today than it was then, does it follow that the drugs back then from the plants would have been significantly stronger than the drugs from the same plants today? Is that a reasonable suspicion? And the second one is, what about people who are, we've taken so many drugs in our lifetime, most of us, over-the-counter drugs, drugs prescribed by doctors, illegal drugs. Are we kind of immune to ordinary plant drugs? Or have we developed kind of immunity to drugs in general? And what do you think? Is any of that possible, probable, or unlikely?
Well, I think you're right. I think the ancient kingdom probably had more purity. Obviously, the soil would have been more potent as far as nutrition and minerals that do affect the potency of plants. And we already know that, you know, from archaeological finds that they have found seeds and plants and tombs that they don't recognize. So apparently have, you know, somehow died off and aren't cultivated or grown anymore. So I think as far as being immune, it's only 2% of the pharmaceutical drugs now are made from plant sources. Everything's been made from synthetics. So I think our bodies aren't immune to the whole food source, an organic source, if that's what you're asking. I think our body responds.
I'm just wondering if over time we've developed, you need more potent. I mean, I'm just speculating. That's all.
Yeah.
Have we taken enough drugs where it compromises our ability, our susceptibility, our sensitivity to plant-based drugs, or are these two entirely different?
I think they're two different things because people have shown that once they go back to, let's say, an immune system stimulating nutrient source, the immune system responds. So it's not like, it's a lost cause. I think once you start putting that nutrition back in, the body does respond. So I don't think taking pharmaceutical drugs will, cut you off from any benefits from herbs in the long run. I think if you minimize those drugs to just, get out of the woods in an emergency, that's fine. But long-term stuff, I really don't adhere to any of that because I think if you look at the side effects and the track record of a lot of these synthetic drugs, they long-term, they're just not good for the body. Let me read you this real quick quote from Dr. Poorman. He was at the University of Manchester. He's one of the researchers on the team. He says it's likely to be a central text, this book that they have, once it's fully deciphered. And he says we might discover things we really can't even dream about yet. So they're hoping that this will really kind of unlock a lot of keys to ancient medicine in Greece and Europe and the Middle East and Rome. They have some things, but, you know, when the Library of Alexandria was destroyed, they lost a lot of that, you know?
There's also an implication in the title of the book. If the book is entitled Simple Drugs,
right,
it implies that there's another book out there that's entitled Complex Drugs.
Well, that's,
you see
that's
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility.
I mean, it's saying, oh, these are the simple ones over here, the complex ones. That's the one, I don't know. We'll wait and see if they can discover that one also.
11 of them. Yep.
Well, why don't you give us some contact information, Wendy?
Well, absolutely. I look at it this way. We went from roots and plants, and then we went to pharmaceutical drugs and vaccines, and now we're back to roots and plants again. So we're come full circle. And if people want to empower themselves, then they have a lot of power with God's Good Herbs. They can just give us a call. We'll send a free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And, of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you. Look forward to talking to you again next Wednesday. We're going to take a break for some commercials, and when we return, Rob West should be with us. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners we have the 1-ounce silver rounds, the Buffalo 2015 tube of those, which are 20 in a tube. 1 ounce Silver Eagles 2015 are also the date, 20 of those. And a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle includes your shipping costs, all for a low price of $895. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to our weekly archives on the program. So thank you for your support. And I'd like to say hello to Rob West. He's joining us today after I received an email. He says, Melody, I have so much to say. Good afternoon, Rob.
Hi, Melody. How's everything with you guys out east?
Oh, just fantastic. Glad to have you here today.
Hello, Rob.
Al, you know, you guys have had Texas weather down there, man. I mean, I've been hearing about this watering problem and stuff. Wow.
No, I don't know. Some people have had a very difficult time. I understand that. But, you know, the state hasn't washed away and the rest of it. Some of this is, you know, it rains every once in a while, and even you get serious storms. I don't mean to make light of it, but sometimes it's exaggerated. You know, where it was terrible, but much of the place was just rained. It made for good news, but we'll watch and see if it rains again. What do you think, Rob? You think it'll rain again down here?
Well, I have some friends down that way, and I'm hoping that they will always have their well water pumpable. So, got a real good friend, attorney friend, he's out of Austin, and then another good friend that's right there in Dallas that I think you know, or you may have met him before now. But, yeah, so anyway, yeah, we're here in Colorado. We're just, it just went from spring to summer in about 24 hours, and I'm really interested in what you guys are been hearing, and I'll tell you what I've been hearing about this basket of currency and what's likely to happen and the emphasis on owning gold and silver. I think it's just much more awesome than a lot of people know about right now.
All right. What are we talking about exactly with the basket of currencies? Are we talking about the same currencies that go into the U.S. dollar index, or are we talking about a different basket of currencies?
Well, yeah, it's, and one of the reasons I reached out to Melody just to share a little information that I think it's very misunderstood. A lot of people don't even know what a world reserve currency is. And so when all these countries trade goods and services, there has to be a mutual exchange of value, and that's where the world reserve currency comes in. And to date, the United States dollar, the U.S. dollar, has been the dominant reserve currency. And but there's others in the basket as well. I mean, you know, the U.S. dollar is almost 42%, but the euro is like 37%. Japanese yen is about 10%. The British pound is about 10%. And actually, there's seven, but I just mentioned the most dominant ones. And what's been happening is because of China's progress, the yuan is becoming very much into play. And I would not be surprised at all if in October it gets invited to be part of that world reserve currency basket. And at the time that will happen, then where the yuan isn't really a currency for value purchase for international settlements, and it will become that in a matter of hours. And I think a whole readjustment will occur, and particularly the U.S. dollar will slide in value in a matter of a day. And
you think that by including the yuan in this IMF basket of currencies, which right now is restricted, I think there's only four currencies in the IMF that the IMF recognizes There's something like reserve currencies. I'm not sure you can correct me, but I think there's only four in that basket at the moment. I mean, is that true or false? Or do you know?
Yeah, like I mentioned, the U.S. dollar, the euro, the yen, and the pound are the top four. And there's a little bit of the Swiss franc in there and a little bit of the Aussie dollar, and but they're not that prominent, really. So, but in everybody's eyes, if they have the understanding of the world reserve currency, they just think it's the U.S. dollar, and really it's not just the U.S. dollar, but it is now the dominant one. So looking at the productivity in the last 4 or 5 years of China, their currency is not even in the basket. And so if you and I and Melody were central bankers and we had to have these different currencies on hand to help international trade to be settled, then you and I and Melody are going to want to buy a lot more of the Chinese currency.
You want?
Yeah. And
because it will appreciate in value once it's added to this basket of currencies. Right now, they're essentially saying the yuan is a Bush League currency, and we can't include it with the four major currencies. And what you're saying is once yuan steps up into the big leagues and it's recognized as a big league currency, among other things, you're suggesting that the dollar could suffer a serious decline in a very short period of time. Is that true?
Exactly. And, you know, there isn't a currency, but it's almost going to be a happening that I know you folks on your show have been, who's been the biggest purchaser and hoarder of gold and silver, it's been China. So particularly if their currency becomes backed, which the U.S. dollar is not, I mean, that will just accelerate the value of gold and silver. So I think people should really look into the things that I've been finding out, and if you have some things for the next 5 or 10 or 15 years that you want to have as valuable exchangeable currency, I just don't think you can go wrong with gold and particularly silver. So, you know, it's I just think it's just the huge is obvious thing, but there's just so many people. Like right now on my computer screen, I got this live currency exchange rate between the U.S. dollar and Zimbabwe and then the euro, and so I can see all these things right on one screen. Well, most people don't even know anything about this. I mean, they wouldn't have any reason, you know, to think about this, but at the end of the day, I think gold and silver is always going to be something you want to have in your pocket. You know, I just really do. So,
Go ahead.
There's a lot of money made on trading currencies. That's the biggest market, I believe, you know, worldwide. And, you know, what happens, I mean, there's also discussions that some littler currencies might be put into the basket of currencies, not just China. Some other currencies, maybe Brazil, South Korea, or even Mexico, because they're all major trading partners with, you know, China and so forth. Would that make it even a bigger impact by adding, you know, because the world has grown so much as far as trade goes, you know, since the U.S. dollar index was, you know, created, I guess. They revised it once before, so adding China, they'll be going to be revising it again, bringing in some other countries because of the amount of trade that's being done with these, you know, partners.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, a lot of the things that I have now time and opportunity to research where I didn't before when I was running my other practice. I was too busy, you know, taking care of business. But after World War II, there was so much damage done that the Bretton Woods Accord settled out basically a relative value of different currencies so that each country can pay a fair share to repair everything that was destroyed. And so that kind of was the preemptive move towards International Monetary Fund into having a world reserve currency that would have equal value depending on a country's productivity. So that's where all this comes from. And so, I'm right here in Colorado, and if I'm buying something from Japan, then the relative value of my currency versus exchanging it for the yen can be considerably different. And so what the World Reserve Currency is to do is to make it a good average comparable value from one country to another. And so what I'm saying is I believe there's a major shift coming that's going to include a currency that is so strong, not only because of their productivity, but because they also have so much gold and silver in the country that you just need to pay attention to it. And so, years ago when I was a certified financial planner and I did a lot of estate planning and financial plan writing and all this stuff, when I was doing retirement planning, the other thing you were doing was trying to find a good way for the person within, my client base to set aside enough money, get tax advantages, whatever it might be, to have enough money that when they get to the older age of retirement, then they can exchange that money back into goods and services that they really need. Well, the paradigm has shifted, I'm telling you. All those old rules I used to abide by religiously, I don't think are valid anymore. And you need to have that relative value to exchange for goods and services. And I wouldn't be surprised to see silver at 200. I wouldn't be surprised to see gold at 5,000. And if you're not in it, so many people look at it the wrong way. I think it's the relative exchange for the future services that you want to have. It doesn't matter if I want to buy it at 1,200 and it's going to go to 5,000, then I'm, just like a triple dip on a stock or something. That's not the reason to own it. The reason to own it is to maintain a standard of value so you can live a normal lifestyle in your later years. So anyway, I just really enjoy you guys and your show what you guys totally know this stuff. I know you do.
I don't know that anybody totally knows it, but we talk about it as best we can. But one of the things that people need to get, first off, one of the reasons that the average American doesn't understand the difference between currencies. What's the difference between the euro and the dollar or the yen or whatever? We don't get it because we haven't had to get it because the dollar has been predominant global currency throughout all of our lifetimes, certainly since World War II. We didn't need to understand. Everybody else needed to understand how to trade their currencies for dollars, but we had dollars. All we had to learn was how to count them. And it's part of the reason we are ignorant about currency exchange and what can be done. And the other thing that is interesting to me is everyone knows that China has bought thousands of tons of gold. Some people say they've only got, China officially claims to have only a little over 1,000 tons. Some people believe they have over 10,000 tons. I've seen estimates that run as high as 30,000 tons. Whatever the amount of gold China has, you have to ask yourself, what are they getting this for? All right? They're not just stacking this up. It's like maybe I've got a collection of seashells, and I've got them stored out in the garage, and I'm going to get some more seashells, and I got another bushel basket of seashells. I got seashells and seashells, and what are they for? Well, I just have this thing about seashells. China doesn't just have this thing about gold. This isn't just a seashell. They're collecting it for a reason. And it seems to me that reason has to involve the Chinese currency.
Yeah, and Al, you and Melody are right on when you bring up these discussions on your show and all. But I don't know, what, 6,000 years or something? I mean, it's always been the value of those metals, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Currencies have come and currencies have gone. And I think the United States has really hammered so badly, you know, the fiat currency, you know, since August 15th of 71. It's not based on anything anymore. And that's really sad. But, and you know what? I mean, seriously, I love the Broncos and Peyton Manning, but I don't watch all that stuff. I'm paying more attention because I've got kids and grandkids, and, you know, somebody has to look out for them. And you know, it's not going to be the next Super Bowl champion or nothing like that. It's just,
yeah.
Just a lot of people just have their interests in the wrong place, and it's designed that way, really, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the new services, you know, like five major companies own all the major news services and stuff. So if you listen to that all the time, that's the only thing you're going to know. I mean,
I understand that.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about that in a moment. We'll take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back with our guest, Rob West, in just a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. Five concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Rob West. And we're talking about the impact that we are, the consequences we're likely to see if the Chinese currency is granted something like world reserve currency status. And I don't mean unique only as the only one, but as one of several, if that's going to come up perhaps later this year. What do you think the chances are, Rob, that the IMF will grant this status to the Chinese currency? Is it a done deal, or is it a chance in 10, or where do we what's the probability that this is going to happen?
Well, I would bet on it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of reading and research and everything. And they were very close to this, frankly, in 5 years ago. But and you know what? There's politics and all that stuff.
Of course there is.
But,
and I know that from what I've seen, the government of the United States is against this. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was John Kerry. But some significant figure in the United States government recently spoke out and said he thought that the Chinese renminbi was not yet, it hadn't grown up enough to be a world reserve currency just yet. They think it needs more time. The IMF, on the other hand, they've come back and they've said that the Chinese currency is not overvalued. People have complained for years that the Chinese currency was improperly valued, undervalued, overvalued, in order to create an advantage, a trade advantage. And the IMF says, no, it's properly valued. Well, that's to some degree a slap, a snub at the United States and say, no, they're okay, which means they should be acceptable for the, we have to look at this not just from the perspective of will the Chinese renminbi be allowed into this exclusive club, this exclusive basket of number one currencies in the world? Will they be allowed in? Or can this basket of currencies continue to survive if they don't bring China's renminbi in? Do you see what I'm saying? They've got to grab hold of the renminbi and say, come on down, you're on the team, boy. Not to improve the renminbi necessarily, but to maintain the power of the IMF fund, this collection of currencies. Are we talking about the Exchange Stabilization Fund?
Well, that has always been a part of the equation, and that's so much misunderstood and what the Exchange Stabilization Fund is. But I think at the end of the day, we just talked just briefly about the politics of this stuff. And, who's been the king dog and all this stuff for all these years? It's been the United States, and it's been the Federal Reserve, and everybody knows the Federal Reserve is not federal. And so, they're doing everything they can to still be top dog. But I really think so much of the world has really has outgrown that. Seriously, Putin and Russia and China and other countries, they don't need us, they don't need us. And so why would they need our currency? So, it's just...
Well, that's one of the things that's happening here. There's a certain kind of inertia in people here in the United States and around the world. We don't need to know anything about foreign currencies because the dollar has been predominant throughout our lifetime. And also, all we need to do is just work with the count the numbers on the pieces of paper that are printed in our country. But just as we've been conditioned to deal with the dollar, so have the people in foreign countries.
Right.
I mean, they understand there's a dollar, there's a peso, there's a pound, there's a euro. They understand that, and they calculate which one do I want. Do I want 100 of these or 50 of these? They understand how to do that in a way that Americans can't comprehend at the moment. But still, they are habitually conditioned, they've been habitually conditioned, to believe that the dollar is reliable. And you can always count on the dollar. You got a choice between euros and dollars. Go ahead, take the dollar. Got a choice between pounds. Take the dollar. Got a choice between yen and take the dollar. All right? There's going to be something it's going to take a while to overcome that attitude that's been established globally. But that attitude is eroding. And the problem is, the big question, of course, is when. You were talking about the possibility of $200 an ounce silver and $5,000 an ounce gold.
Right.
Do you think that's possible as a consequence of China's currency being admitted into the IMF basket of currencies? Or is this something further into the future where we're going to get maybe a bump in the road and we'll see a significant change a couple of years down the line? The big question on all of this is when? It would be hard to find someone who disagrees with your interpretation and mine and Melody's in broad strokes of what's going on and where we're headed, but who knows when? Got a prediction for us?
You know, if I had my wishes for everybody that I knew, I would say, look, the exact timing of the event, I mean, I was a stockbroker for 25 years, and in addition to other stuff I was doing, and let me tell you, you just cannot. I mean, if you're lucky, you know, when you make a call and something happens and it does within the time frame of what you think, and it's luck. I mean, I've never found anybody. So I don't know.
Well, then you can write a book, and you go on speaking tours.
Well, but you know, it's just, I just think it's just the nature of the happenings. But why, when you have enough empirical data that indicates it's very high probability, then why not rearrange some things before the Titanic hits the next iceberg? You know,
yeah.
I mean, maybe it won't, but I don't know. So,
but even if it does, where's the harm in the rearranging that you're talking about?
Exactly. So
it's like storing up food. All right, maybe we don't have a problem of the sort that the preppers are anticipating, but just the same, you store food, and if it turns out we don't have a big emergency coming, well, you can eat the food.
Certainly.
You're not going to get hurt by this.
Exactly. And I know you guys know I've been writing this book and researching on this other stuff, dealing with mortgage fraud and all these other things. And this stuff feeds right into that. It is completely associated. I can't tell you how many things I found that has been associated with, you know, mortgage and foreclosure fraud, and it deals directly back. I mean, what it is, guys, it's the banking system itself. And if you go back and read, you know, some of the things, there's something called, a book called The Web of Debt by Helen Brown, Creature from Jekyll Island. I mean, I'm just wanting people to get encouraged to reach out and start learning some things for themselves. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. Everything you guys talk about, I listen to you guys. You're not making this up. It's just because you research it, you know. And we just.
Well, you know what you try to communicate with this is we could talk about any subject that, you know, any of us had an interest in. We can talk about great art, classical art, all right, and painters and the rest of that. Well, that's interesting information, but what's the relevance to the average man or woman? I'm not in a position to buy a Rembrandt. It may be interesting to study Rembrandt, the rest of that sort of thing, but if you really want to get into it and learn about it, you have to understand that it has relevance to you. And if it doesn't have relevance, what's the purpose of reading it and studying it? The same thing is true with questions of economics and currencies. All right, people think, oh, this is crazy talk, talking about the difference between the euro and the dollar, or the dollar and gold, and $5,000 gold, and so on. What's this? What we're trying to do on this program is show people that these concepts are relevant. These will make a difference in your life if you care to learn them. And if you do learn them, it might actually protect you in what may be a very difficult time coming down the road.
Yeah.
So that's part of the deal on this. I mean, it's not just curious knowledge about protons, electrons, and neutrons. Atomic physics, great, you know, interesting subject. But if you're not running a nuclear reactor, I'm not sure that we need to know that.
Exactly.
But we are running a kind of nuclear reactor in our financial system right now, and it's getting hot.
Exactly.
It's incumbent on all of us to learn.
Well, well said. And you and Melody put together such a good framework for these kinds of discussions. But listen, at the end of the day, I've been doing this financial stuff for 44 years, and I would never do what I used to do in the past because of what I know now. And particularly getting involved with this, I got just such information about all this financial fraud that's coming out of the banking system, and particularly mortgages and, you know, LIBOR fraud and stuff we talked about before. I mean, I've almost thought about really just reopening a practice to change everything I used to do into what I think should be known about now. And
I'm going to take a guess here, and you correct me if I'm wrong. Everything you used to do was based on a system of values and procedures that were pretty much created while we still had a currency that was backed by gold or silver.
It was.
And to my mind, the new rules today, the problems we have today, aren't necessarily due to the banking system, but they are due, in my opinion, to the use of fiat currency, and especially digital currency, and that's what I think has changed. I'm guessing that the changes in the rules that you've perceived, I'm guessing they flow more so from the nature of the currency, the digital currency, the fiat currency. That's what's changed the rules. I even changed banking to some degree. I'm not sure that banking is the central problem, but the fiat currency, from my perspective, is. But how do you separate banking from fiat currency? I don't know. But you agree, disagree? Do you think it's just the banking system and less fiat currency, or more fiat currency, less banking, or what do you think?
Well, I think your premise about the fiat currency is, to me, one and the same, a piece of the banking system, because these banking guys, seriously, if I would tell some of the audience and stuff different things, in meetings I was in with hedge fund managers and venture capitalists and the way they think about money and all the stuff they were doing, which was like, you know, I'm like a farm boy from Ohio, and I wasn't used to running with these kinds of guys that were, you know, snorting cocaine and stuff. They don't have a clue about a whole bunch of stuff. They don't really care. They're just, and you and I and Melody and a whole bunch of folks were just trying to put together some common sense things, which is really tough to do because so many of the people that are the players in this, they don't even read your mail.
No, I get that. They are like most people, and the only thing they know about money is how to count it.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to communicate is there's an enormous depth and significance in the subject that goes way beyond just counting it. You know, how much you got? No, it's not just about the sum. There are questions of values and philosophy and even spirituality that come back to what kind of money are you using, and the average person just looks at you like you're crazy.
Right.
All they need to know, you know, is how to count it. And that's not enough. I'll tell you what, though, we've got about 30 seconds left, Rob. Is there something you'd like to close out with before we finish the program?
Well, I'm always open for people that wants to reach out to see some of the things I research, and I'd be happy to share that information by email. To text me, 303-472-0531 is the best way to text. Also, rob@rmeadvisors.com, and you can look at our website, rmeadvisors.com, Rocky Mountain Educational Advisors. We don't sell products. We're into financial education, and we just think that a whole lot more education needs just to be shared, and we can all benefit by it, and I just really enjoy you and Melody and what you guys bring to the table. And I hope you really increase more and more and more listenership, because this kind of information just needs to be known.
From your lips to God's ears, we've got to go. Thank you, Rob, for being on the program. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Rob West, our guest. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Rich man's world. Money.